columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
And we are here.
Let's get it.
Let me bump in just a second early because we do not want to keep our guy waiting. And what an awesome weekend it was. Hopefully you guys all enjoyed it. Three-day weekend, Memorial Day, all that great stuff. But one of the highlights of the weekend was the match two. Yes, the match two was, it went down, maybe not as it was drawn up initially, and it was an incredible event. $20 million raised, just an absurd amount of assistance here in a time when people need it most. And we have the one and the only Peyton Manning, who has been kind enough to share some of his time with us here on a Tuesday on Stokely and Zach. Peyton, let me just start here. Leading up to the event, I was holding my breath for a couple hours. I was checking the weather report down there in Florida. I did not think that it was going to go down. What was the process like leading up to actually teeing off?
Well, it was such a shame because both Tom and I got in there Thursday night and got to play a couple practice rounds with Tiger on Friday, and Tom got to play with Phil, and the weather was perfect, and then just like all things, you know, you want it to be perfect again Sunday, and just the rains opened up, and somebody told me that they got so much rain Monday, and this morning they had to close the course. So Monday was the makeup day. That wouldn't have been good. So I think it was Sunday or bust, and luckily no thunder, no lightning, but it kind of reminded me of playing Stokely was there when the Colts played the Bears in the Super Bowl, a full monsoon rain, and it's not the way you sort of dream about it, and kind of had a similar start for me to that Super Bowl, Zach. You know, Devin Hester ran the opening kickoff back, and I threw an interception the first time we got the ball. So when I yanked that drive left and Tiger's looking for my ball, I mean, it kind of reminded me of me and Stokely looking for his golf ball and my golf ball the times we play. So, but things got a little better after that.
No, they did. Talk about the nerves, Peyton, and thanks again for joining us. Were there a lot of nerves there? Not much nerves there? You know, coming down the stretch also, I mean, you made some big shots coming down the stretch. Talk about the nerves and just the overall experience and how you felt.
Yeah, I was nervous. You know, I think any time you're sort of in somebody else's world and kind of behind the ropes, and you know, I think not having the fans there probably helped a little bit because, you know, with your I mean, and maybe that was the real reason fans weren't there, because Brady and I could have killed a couple people with some of those yanks. And so at least there were spectators there. And so I think maybe that helped a little bit. The weather might have helped a little bit too, Stoke, because at that point, you know, I was kind of saying, wow, you know, I mean, usually I just don't play in rain quite like that. And so your expectations kind of lower a little bit. So maybe that helps you relax a little bit. But, yeah, but I mean, I was pretty nervous the whole time. Never totally comfortable. Obviously, knowing it was, like Zach said, raising money, $20 million. I mean, I kind of kept reminding me of that. This is a charity event. Let's enjoy and have some fun. But there's no doubt my heart was beating on a couple of those iron shots on the back nine.
Well, I got to ask you about those. I thought the shot of the day, you know, Tom's shot was cute. You know, the birdie on that par five, the hole out shot, that was cute. But you know, in the fourth quarter, when they had all the momentum and Brady and Mickelson step up on 16 and just stick it tight, and then you come on top of those two guys when y'all are on the ropes a little bit, I thought was the most clutch shot of the day, the best shot of the day. Talk about that shot. What club did you hit there? And then also the second shot on 18 I thought was a really clutch shot also right there.
Yeah, it was playing about one, I think it was playing about 180, but the Tiger, I mean, no offense, Stoke, I mean, he is the best caddy green reader I've ever had. I mean, I love you, and I mean, the guy, the way he reads the putts, it's unbelievable. So, but he told me he's playing, it's going to play downhill a little bit, and a little downwind. He said, and by that time, he had kind of clubbed me just playing together, kind of knowing what he was going to hit and what I could hit. So he said he was going to hit 8. He told me to hit 7. So I went with the John Elway 7-iron. And, yeah, I mean, I couldn't see where the ball landed because the weather was getting dark and it was raining. But I did see Justin Thomas up there kind of have this reaction. And it was the kind of reaction where you could tell it had to have been close. And so I wasn't for sure until we got up there to the green. But and then knowing it's a tap-in birdie, certainly was it was good timing because they were definitely going to make birdie because Mickelson would have made that putt. Mickelson makes everything anyway. So it could have been tied up going into 17 and 18.
Peyton Manning dropping by Stokely and Zach here reacting to the match two over the weekend, which, by the way, it is being reported that it is the most watched golf telecast in cable television history. And actually, and you think about how hyped up and the attention that The Last Dance got. Well, if you're going to do a sports content during a pandemic comparison, it actually averaged nearly the exact same amount as The Last Dance. Did you ever, during the match, let yourself, not that you thought it would do a number like that, or maybe you did, but did you let yourself think about how many people were actually watching in a sport that's so individualistic? There's not 10 guys out there with you this time. It's just you and a partner. Did you let yourself think about that for a second, Peyton?
Well, I mean, I certainly realized that people are looking for a distraction from the tough times that are going on, and live sports can be just that. And, you know, people getting to see Tiger Woods and Phil, golf fans, and to see them back in action, and to see Tom and I kind of out of our comfort zones in there. So, I think having Charles Barkley, engaging in conversation and having everybody mic'd up where you could talk and tell some stories and maybe, I have a little fun at the same time trying to play golf. It was well organized. The weather was made it more challenging. And those camera people were the real studs of the event, putting up with that weather. So, I guess I didn't think about how many people were necessarily watching. But I just tried to think about trying to put my partner in some decent situations and know we were going to raise some money at the same time.
Well, last one here from me, Peyton, a little bit two-part question. And if I was caddying for you, I wouldn't have let you hit driver on 14, by the way. I thought that was a mistake. But on 18, that second shot, talk about that second shot, your thought process there. Obviously, you needed to hit a shot, sand right, water right. You can't go right there. And you want to close that thing out. You don't want to go to sudden death. And did y'all get anything for winning? I saw last year Phil got some kind of, I don't know, it was a watch or belt or something. Any prize for you and Tiger for winning it?
Yeah, good questions. That was like 7 questions, wasn't really 2 there. on 14, Stokely, if I recall, the time you and I played there, the second time we played there, the second round of the day, right? So what's the all, and Tiger turned to you and said, Stokely, you've not made a par yet today, have you? And you said, no, I have not. You were a little bit embarrassed. And he said, you need to make a par here. And you did. And he signed a glove to you. So
that's
one of the greatest pars you've ever made.
That's right.
With the signed glove. You're right. I mean, it's not a driver. I just kind of got where I thought I could at least hit contact on the driver. I mean, I hit that 5-iron off the tee on the one hole and had it plugged in the sand. And, the rules are fixed. I mean, I got to play it down. I mean, I wanted to, argue with the referee like I used to with Ed Hockley. So I tried to calm my nerves. So I'm going to hit driver, just get it, try to at least hit it solid. That didn't go so well. 18, it was playing 190, and Tiger said hit the 5-iron, and hit it as good as I can hit it. I knew I had to aim left. That water, you just couldn't help but see it and feel it. And so I said, if I miss this, I'm going to miss this thing left. And, even if you're on the left side of the bunker, you figure Tiger Woods can chip it up into the weather. I was definitely thinking about his putt. And I was like, please make it or put it as a gimme. I don't really want a 6-footer on this hole. The putting is a different you don't know. So, but it was a good 5-iron, and my partner's advice. No, look, Tiger and I got a great picture, you know, afterwards with the check presentation. But I guess kind of being a charity event, I mean, everything, all prizes, all awards, everything is going to the organizations that we were benefiting, and that's the right way to do it. And so it's a great memory, and knowing that we helped some people is the best part about it.
Well, you certainly did that, Pete, and I guess I'll ask this last one for me on the way out the door. And by the way, I can't believe we got through this interview without Stoke peppering you with Drew Lock questions. But
I'm getting shot from you now. Oh, it's coming from everywhere, all angles.
I just figured. But Peyton, I want to just ask you on the way out here about the prep. You know, about the prep leading up to this. So often Stokely would say, you know, hey, I got to cut out 5 minutes early. I got to leave just a couple minutes early because I knew how often he was playing. How much golf were you playing with our good buddy Stokely? And just talk about the days leading up to this.
Yeah, Stokely, I got some rounds in. With, you know, the inability to travel and everything kind of on hold. And, you know, our kids sporting event teams have been canceled, you know, softball and flag football. So I've had some time. Stoke and I kind of went on the road, went out to Highlands Ranch, went over to Common Ground, went to Wellshire, went out to Pradera. Right, Stoke? We kind of got around. Tell me where I'm leaving out. Colorado Golf Club.
Yep, so, Colorado Golf Club.
Got to some of the great you know, public courses here in Colorado. Wellshire was great. I loved it. Stokely, like, forgets to check us in. We're getting ready to tee off on one. This guy comes out of the car. Hey, who are you guys? You guys didn't check in. I'm like, Stokely, you didn't check in? And then the guy almost picked us off the course. Stokely forgot to check in. So, you know, I'm glad we got that round in. But I played, I don't know, Stoke, I mean,
We got after it a little bit.
Stokely, it's always great because it's fun on the course. And then all those years we played together, there was a full recap the next day in the weight room or out there on the practice field in the summer. So great memories. We're not teammates very much. You know, the only thing I was thinking we didn't do, so we should have done a little mock game, you know, where, you know, me, you, John and Zates, everybody, you know, you could have been Tiger. John could have been Mickelson. Zates could have been Brady. Play a little mock game. Get a little trash talk. That's the only thing we didn't do.
Yeah. We next year. Next year.
I'm done. I'm out. the match three, well, if there is one, will not. I will not be a part of it. I can promise you that.
No. Well, it was awesome. Hey, I couldn't have been more fired up for you. I love the way that you finished down the stretch. That was that made me happy, and congratulations. Well done. Obviously, y'all did a great thing and raised a lot of money, and that's what it was all about. Thanks for joining us, Peyton. Appreciate it.
All right, Stoke. All right, Zach. Y'all take care.
All right. Thanks, buddy. There he goes, the one and the only, PFN, Peyton Manning. Man, that was a blast, a blast, a blast. And great of him to join us here.
That story's true now. We almost got kicked off the course, and you know, we had played at Wellshire. We had played there the week before, and the guy really took care of us, and it was a different guy, and he had carts waiting for us, and we went right to the first tee box, bam, and just played. So we were playing there the following week. We didn't have the same guy taking care of us, but another guy checked us in. We paid for it beforehand online, right, and got our carts and just went right to that same first tee box because it was our tee time. And this guy comes out of the cart, the check-in shack right there, like in the middle of the right by the holes.
Sure.
And he comes storming over there, yelling at us about we didn't check in and that he'll kick us off the course if we ever try to do that again.
Oh,
and we're
my
like,
goodness.
Sorry, buddy, we paid for it. We didn't know that we needed to check in with you. And I mean, he was just lighting us up. It was good stuff.
That is great. We actually had a similar incident last week. The guy came out of that little shack there by the first tee and was barking at us because we were going to let the group behind us tee off. We were just going to switch tee times with them. And I guess that was a big no-no. I guess that was, He was not having that and was parking up. We were waiting for our buddy.
Yeah, your buddy was stuck in traffic.
Our buddy was stuck. Exactly.
That's right.
And he come out there like it was, you know, like we were impacting, you know, hundreds of people.
Hey, they're serious now. They're serious about that stuff. I mean, sometimes you don't want to do that. But if that group wants to go in front of you and, you can wait, what's the big deal?
That's what I thought. But
so what'd you think, man? What'd you think about the match on Sunday?
I have never, ever, ever, ever watched golf consecutively hole after hole after hole the way that I did with the match too. Never. I watched it for as long as they came on the air, and they were supposed to tee off at what, about one, I think, and they didn't get started till like, I don't know, like 1:40, and I think they were trying to wait out some of the weather there. Stoke, I was shocked that they played it. I mean, it looked so bad. Like, it was in such rough shape, obviously beyond anyone's control. But I was just like, this thing, man, I was so looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm invested in it in a couple different ways. And now this thing isn't going to go down.
Talk to me.
But they did. And I was just thrilled. And somehow they pulled it off. And they pulled it off just, I won't say flawlessly, because there was a couple things there with static and you couldn't hear Brady for a second. But all in all the factors considered, I mean, a grand slam.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Just kind of what I needed. I mean, it just made my day. You're right. You know, the weather stunk. Obviously, you're playing that course, it's tough enough. And then all of a sudden, you add the weather and the elements and the wind. I mean, those are tough, tough conditions to play if you're an amateur golfer. And you saw it. And I thought that's what made it great. And I thought what also made it great was Phil and Tom came back and made it a battle.
They did.
And made it great the stretch and kept our attention. Looked like it was going to be a runaway victory, but it ended up being a great match, and it came down to the very end, and you got Peyton and Tom hitting their second shots into 18, and, you know, one, you know, hosel rocket, shank, worm burner, and the other team's going to tie this thing up, and you're going to sudden death. So, obviously, you know, those shots that I was talking about with Peyton on 16 and 18 were big shots. And,
huge.
I didn't realize he had that far in on hole 18. That's a long iron shot when you got all that water right and sand right. And But I enjoyed it so much. I mean, it was, and having played that course, obviously, one time, was awesome. So I just thought it was great. It was a great competition, and they raised a lot of money, and you know, the conditions, and you know, sometimes you couldn't hear Tom, and sometimes you know, you couldn't hear, but certain things, and I just thought it was great. It didn't bother me one bit at all. I thought Charles Barkley was great.
He was great.
Justin Thomas was great. Phil was, you know, I love the explanation on the chipping on that one hole when he was talking about
awesome.
How he was going to chip it, and
he did exactly
what he said. I mean, the thought process with those guys looking at the grass and, well, see how it's dark colored here and it's light colored here. Well, that means it's, you know, into the grain and not against the grain. All these different things that these guys think of, and the shots that they were able to pull out. And Tiger just played unbelievable, and then Phil and Tom got it going. It was everything that I hoped and more. So I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was. I was wildly entertained. The personalities involved is what did it for me. You know, between Chuck and Peyton, and I mean, how about like they're before they tee off, Peyton's being asked about, you know, his caddy, and he tried to shoehorn your name in there.
He was
interrupted.
I don't know who this Rosy guy he was talking about at first, though. I don't know about that guy.
Now, that's his buddy from New Orleans. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, Rosy. Rosy had no chance.
So he's throwing a couple names out there, and he stuck yours in there. You could hear it. You could definitely hear it, but she stepped on it a little bit. But then he said, you know, I should have brought Nick Foles. And the way that Brady turned around, you could tell, yeah, they were busting chops, but that, he landed that one.
Yeah, that was a good one. I love that. Those are funny. The Nick Foles and Bill Belichick, right? I mean, those are just great lines. And he asked about the one line about Charles Barkley. Is he here? Or is he still eating lunch or something like that? I thought was a great line. Tiger had a couple in there. I mean, Tiger was just about business and just going out there, but he had a couple little zingers in there, and Phil was great. And you could tell Tom was, I mean, he was sick to his stomach early.
He was just sick,
that's a lonely place to be, man.
Sure.
It's a lonely place to be when you're not playing good. You got nowhere to go. And I just couldn't imagine being on that type of stage when you're just spraying the ball left and right and you can't get anything going. So I was happy for him. Like after he dunked that ball on 7 or 8 or whatever hole that was, and then he started playing a lot better. He started hitting fairways. They made a great comeback there in that alternate shot, which I thought was a great format. A little bit of strategy involved on who's hitting the second shot. So obviously you want those pros hitting the second shots into the greens. So, it was a little bit of pressure on the amateurs to try to hit that tee shot in the fairway so the pros could hit that next shot. I just thought the setup was great. The personalities were great. It was a home run, and it was fun to watch. I can't believe he said he's not going to do it again if they had it.
No, because here's the thing. Since it drew such a number, and last year's did well too, this was on a different level. I mean, how about that? That the match two outperformed on an average viewership standpoint, it outperformed The Last Dance. I mean, that's
wow.
That's unbelievable. I would have never guessed that, but it just shows you the interest of, so like the last dance, it's like a lot of interest in like one guy. He's the focal point. That's Michael.
Right.
And he might be a bigger star than anyone in the sporting world. But when you add up the factors of Peyton, Phil, Tiger, Brady, it's just so much. It moves the needle so much. It was a blast.
You know what else would move the needle? You put me on Peyton's bag, get me mic'd up. You put Edelman on Brady's bag, and, you know, we're throwing action out there. We're talking trash, right? I mean, look, I mean, that's the next level, Zach. That's the match three. You don't want, we get the caddies involved.
There has to be a three, because I brought up the numbers to say that when you have something that's this successful, when Fast and the Furious 4 is super successful, what do? They make a Fast and the Furious 5, and
right.
They don't stop until the money runs out. So with something like this, I think that there's going to be an attempt to do it again. And Peyton says no now, but we're only about 48 hours removed from it. We'll see what he says, in 9 months or so. But, man, that was just a grand slam. I think we were all lucky to have that type of content, live sporting content with superstars on a long weekend. I mean, it's just awesome.
It was everything that I hoped it would be and more. And I love the way that it finished. And I was proud of my guy, man. I was proud of him. He stepped up and made some big time shots down the stretch, which, we've been playing a lot of golf here the last month or so. And so it was, I was proud of him. It was awesome.
It might have came in second in terms of matchups for the weekend, because me and Cecil locking horns in the Rocks Heating and Air Fan Tournament.
What?
ROX Rock.
What?
Dude, wait till you hear the deets on this thing.
Goodness.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Holy moly. Breaking news that we'll get to a little bit later. You're going to want to hang around for that. but here's a question I have about Drew Locke. Help me slipping that zinger in.
Yeah, that was a good one. Don't talk about me leaving early either, bro. Keep my business off the streets now. Come on now. That was a good little zinger, though. That was a good one.
I heard a laugh in there. All right. Will Drew Locke, it's a simple question. We just talked to Peyton Manning. Will Drew Locke's year two be the best quarterback performance here in Denver since Peyton Manning's 2014? Interesting conversation that we'll take a dive into next. All right, so I got a question for you that I want to take a little bit of a dive into about Drew Locke as it compares to Peyton Manning, getting great reaction from our conversation with Peyton that we just had. And if you missed it, we're going to replay it at 2:30. So you're definitely not going to want to miss it if you're just joining us and you missed our conversation with the one and the only Peyton Manning, replaying it at 2:30. I don't know how we didn't mention this so far, but, and I'm going to get to that question here about Drew Locke in a second, but Tom Brady ripping his pants right down the center of his rear end. I mean,
saw that.
Cannot make that stuff up. Like when the tight pants look goes wrong,
right?
Him bending over and splitting literally right down where the good Lord split him is just
how does that happen?
I don't know. Your pants are too small. I mean, that's the only question I can think of. Your pants are too tight and too small where you can't bend over to get up a golf ball out of the hole.
I didn't notice that they were, like, ultra-tight pants or anything like that.
Neither did I until they split down his crack.
Right, right. I guess they weren't well-made. I don't know. you know, that could be an issue also. So, I just thought the little bits and pieces of everything, you know, some of the things that we haven't even talked about with the match. I mean, it's just like you said, that moment right there. How about that one? All of a sudden he's wearing these rain pants or something over, and it's like, well, why is he wearing those now? Well, I split my pants. Oh, okay.
He was wearing like baggy wind pants that he borrowed from D-Mac, a source said. It's like, wow.
Well, usually the rain pants that you have are a little bit baggy because usually you just throw them right over your normal pants or shorts. So usually those are a little bit baggier than most pants you would like to wear.
I did not even realize that rain pants were a thing. That you have them as, you know, a precaution, I guess, that if it comes down, heavy stuff, you throw them on. I didn't know that.
Yep, you get your rain gear, rain jacket, rain pants, and you can just play through it. You don't need that much here, though. You really don't. But in other parts of the country, you obviously do. What do you think about Peyton's golf cart? Did you get a chance to check it out? I tweeted it last night, the whole, like, 360 of it, because I didn't see the whole thing of it.
I did not see the 360 of it.
Yeah, so somebody just kind of walked around it, and I thought it was once you look at all the detail of his.
Yeah.
I don't know what Tom and Phil, if they had any other detail besides, you know, TB12 and then Phil just kind of jumping, and then Tiger had the TW. But Peyton's had a lot of detail involved with the Colts, with the Broncos, with the Colorado little sign on the back. And he had his Tennessee volunteer on one side. I thought it was Children's Hospital.
Oh, I'm seeing this right now on your Twitter. Okay, so if you have not, I'm seeing the Tennessee plaid or whatever that's called underneath where his legs are. Oh, you guys got to see this. Go to Stokely's Twitter account, at BStokely14, if you haven't seen it. Because I'm just seeing I saw that there was some Colts stuff. I saw that there was some Broncos stuff. But I'm seeing, like, a Tennessee saloon and the logo and the, like you said, the Children's Hospital stuff. And
you didn't get the whole picture of it on the telecast. You know, they never... I saw bits and pieces, but not the whole 360 of everything that was on the golf cart. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, man, that is so cool. I'm just seeing this now. Very, very, very cool, detail-oriented. And it sounds like those are going to be auctioned off for charity.
Yes.
As well.
Right.
So the money keeps on going for COVID-19 support. So cool that they did that. And before we move on, like Phil Mickelson, the way his mouth was moving for the first two or three holes – holy moly. It's just motor mouth.
Yes.
Just he could not stop. I don't know if it was just the sheer excitement of it or that's the way he kind of trash talks, but at one point Charles was like, he's the one annoying friend that like everyone rolls with. You ask him one simple question, you got to give some dissertation.
Funny. That was awesome. And then even Tiger said something about him. Like, you know, you see what I got to put up with, dealing with Phil, which I thought was a great little zinger at Phil there. But Phil even admitting early on he had nerves and just wasn't settled in yet. You know, you saw his first tee shot go way left, so he wasn't settled in. But once he got settled in, he started getting going, and you can tell he thrives in those types of situations. I mean, he's used to those pressure moments, and he was in it. And I loved listening to him and him kind of going back and forth with Tom. And once they started getting it going, when he hit that bomb on, I forgot what hole it was, 10, 11, 12, one of those holes where he took it over the trees and drove the green. I thought that was awesome. He did ramble a lot, but I thought, you know, you need something like that. You need somebody to be able to give more content. It can't just be Peyton carrying the whole dang thing.
Right, right.
Tiger ain't gonna do it. Tom's not saying much, and Tiger's not doing it, and Tom's looking for his golf ball every hole in the swamp over there. So it was good to have Phil. And I thought Justin Thomas was great, and obviously Barkley was great also.
Yeah, that was a lot of moving parts, a lot of moving personalities, and when Brady does finally sink that shot, how many yards out was he there?
Like, I think it was 100.
100 yards?
Yeah, I think they said right around 100. He needed that, and that was one of those shots where you could see it kind of settle him down and got it going, and then he started playing a lot better after that.
Yeah, and I love the way he handled it, though, because he was the butt of the joke on social media. He really was leading up to that point. And then he goes, you want to know? I've been, you know, stinking it up all day, and you guys are going to hear about this one. Everyone just sit back, and I'm going to let you know and do some, like, victory lap for that one shot I thought was pretty good.
The Tiger almost went on top of him for eagle to win the hole.
Dude.
And so it lipped out to win the hole.
It lipped
out. And Tom
out.
Was like, don't do it. Don't you make this putt. And he stepped up there, and that had to be a 35-foot eagle putt for Tiger that he just lipped out. I mean, he was on his game. His putting, that putt on 18, to, you know, Peyton was talking about, and that's what I was just – I was sitting there watching it. I know we're going to get to this Drew Locke thing, but I can't help it right now.
Yeah, no.
I was watching. I'm like, don't leave Peyton a four-footer right now. You know, that's the last thing you want after he missed that little short one on 14 is to have another three or four-footer to win the thing. I mean, that's in those conditions, windy, cold, rainy, and I'm like, just nestle it up there close to where they got to give it to you. And what a putt. I mean, he was on his game the whole time. His chipping, his putting, his sand game, his driving of the golf ball, it was, he was on it.
He was. And how about, and I forget the order of operations, how it went down, but was it Tiger saying to Phil, I'll give you $100,000 if our, no, he goes, I'm going to hit your ball. He's like, yes. I'm going to hit your ball. And Phil's like, I'll give you $100,000, you hit it. And man, that thing was about an inch away from knocking his ball.
What happened was Phil wanted him to go mark his ball on the green. And Phil's got like a 40-yard chip shot out of this sand slash, you know, rough area that he was in. And Tiger's like, there's, you know, he's just thinking to himself, Phil, come on. There's no way you're going to hit my golf ball. All right, buddy. So he said, what do you want me to mark it with my U.S. Olympic, my U.S.
Yes,
Open medal?
Yes.
And my gold medal from the U.S. Open or whatever. And so that was kind of funny because obviously Phil's never won. He's finished second. So that was a good little one-liner from Tiger there. And then Tiger said, look, oh, you hit my ball. You hit my ball. We'll just give you the hole. We'll let you win the hole.
Right,
and
right.
Oh, my goodness, it bounced over. And if you had action on, you know, if you had any kind of action on the thing, you're like, Tiger, what are you doing here? You can't say it because if he hits it, what are you going to do?
You got to
say you win the hole. So, holy cow.
And
one bounce right
there,
over.
It got tight because at the turn, it was like a three-shot lead, I want to say.
Yes, there were three up.
For Tiger and Peyton. And it goes down.
And they controlled the whole first nine. I mean,
it wasn't even close.
They dominated. It could have been up four or five.
It wasn't
Sorry, go
close.
Ahead.
No, it could have been four or five, but it was just enough where Phil starts catching traction.
Yep.
He starts bumping his mouth again. And he's like, oh, this is where it turns. This is where it happens. And sure enough, it comes down to, you know, one-stroke lead in the last couple holes. High drama, and the mood changed because the first couple holes, it was busting chops and, you know, hey, Eli would have made that and, you know, it's all good.
And
then the last three holes, it was like, man, the mood, it felt like the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
like the fourth quarter.
When they got to 16, it totally changed. Everybody wanted to win. I mean, they were going out there to compete. I mean, you don't think that, you know, Tom and Phil wanted to win that thing so badly? I mean, they wanted to win very, very badly. And so did Peyton and Tiger. Tiger's tired of hearing Phil, you know, run his mouth about beating him in Vegas. And certainly Peyton didn't want to lose. So, I mean, it became a competition. And that's what competitors do, right? I mean, all of a sudden, it's not so much joking. It's, hey, let's grind this thing out. When we're trying to get a W here, right?
Right.
And that's what it became. And that's what I loved about it because it was a great competition. It wasn't just, you know, this exhibition. No, these guys wanted to win. It wasn't like, you know, I don't like it when you get to 16 if you're one up or one down, you're high-fiving each other and like, all right, yeah, that's fun. No. I want to see you compete. I want to see you try to win, and that's what it became, and for me, that's what I wanted to see.
Yeah, and that's what you got, man. It was awesome. And last one I'll hit here on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Someone says the funniest line was, and they don't say who it was, and I forget, it might have been from Peyton, but he says the match chose the charity Feeding America because it was easier to pull off than feeding Charles Barkley. And I forget who said it, but that was, you're on it, Texter. That was one of about 10 zingers shared throughout the day.
You got to say that one more time. I'm sorry. Say that one more time. You kind of cut out on me there.
The match chose the charity Feeding America because it was easier to pull off than feeding Charles Barkley. That charity. It was. I forget who said that.
How about the one where Justin Thomas was taking shots at him, and Charles like, hey, we're on TV, man. This I'll get HR on you. You know,
yes,
you can't say this stuff on national TV like this anymore, Justin. I thought that was good.
Oh my gosh.
And Charles, you know, kind of making fun of himself, obviously. And then at the very end, I don't know if you saw it, Charles had a little competition on 18 trying to go, trying to make a bogey on 18.
Right.
And I thought he did really well to get that close. There was no chance I thought he was going to make bogey. I mean, we've all seen Charles swing, and he almost did it. He almost did it. So that was a cool little part of it. Just wish the weather would have been better. But all in all, man, it was I mean, that was just awesome.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome all the way around. We needed it. We got it. It delivered in a monster way. The highest viewed golf match ever in the history of cable television.
Wow.
Nearly 6 million viewers. So just awesome, awesome, awesome.
I could talk about this thing all day. I mean, it was the highlight of my day. I couldn't have been happier, man. I was so nervous there down the stretch. I felt like I was playing. I felt like, because the one thing I just didn't want, you know, you get to 18 right there, like I asked Peyton, I knew you're feeling, I mean, you got a 5-iron in your hands, and you don't have a pitching wedge in your hand, and you know, look, you're an amateur golfer. Next thing you do, you shank one to the right in the water, you look like a, you know,
yep.
You know, you just ruined everything. And so a lot of pressure there, and I was happy for him, and I was proud of him. I was proud of the way he stepped up and made some big plays coming down the stretch.
Yep, and if you missed our conversation with Peyton, we will replay it at 2:30 for your listening pleasure. All right, I got a question here about Drew Locke. Well, Drew Locke's year number two, and for better or worse, it is year number two. He's only got 5 games played. We got it, but it is year two for Drew. Will Drew Locke's second season be the best season at the quarterback position since Peyton Manning's 2014 season? There's only really a couple qualifiers that it would need to knock out. Certainly not Joe Flacco this past year, who in 8 games threw just 6 touchdowns and 5 interceptions and was sacked an incredible 26 times in 8 games. Certainly not that. You got to go back to really Case Keenum's 2018, where he completed 62% of his passes, Stoke, threw for 248 yards, 18 touchdowns to 15 interceptions.
How many yards did he throw for? I didn't hear that.
About 250 a game, 248 a game.
Oh, okay. What's the total of that?
For the season?
Yes.
It was about 3,900 yards.
Okay.
So 18 touchdowns, 15 picks. That was Case Keenum's 2018 season. And then the other real candidate is Trevor Siemian's 2016 season, where
right.
He plays 14 of the 16, completes 60% of his passes, throws for about the same number of yards per game, literally separated between a yard between Case and Trevor, so 247 yards a game. And then he had 18 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, so the same amount of touchdowns, but with 5 less picks. So it's probably Trevor Siemian's 2016 season that was the best. And really, the fact that I'm saying this out loud and we're covering Bronco quarterbacks over years of a window.
Right.
Trevor Siemian's 2016 season, where he played 14 games, completed 16% of his passes, threw for about 250 yards a game, 18 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, is the best quarterback season since Peyton Manning's 2014 season.
Yeah, I think we got to get more touchdowns than that. Don't you agree? I mean, I think Drew needs to be in the 20s somewhere. And I think he will be. I mean, that's kind of my expectations. Now, we have to look at everything that's going on here in this offseason and the new coordinator, all these things, and kind of, I think, taper my expectations a little bit. But I do expect him to be in the 20s when it comes to touchdowns. If he stays healthy, plays 16 games, I expect him to be in the 20s. And now the interceptions, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I do. I expect this season to be the best season for a Broncos quarterback since Peyton Manning walked out the building.
Okay.
I expect that. I expect him to beat both of those guys, especially when it comes to touchdown passes thrown, yardage. If he stays healthy, I think, yeah, with the weapons that he has, I think we'll see ups and downs throughout the course of the season. But I do. I think he beats, you know, he'll throw for – you know, in the 20s when you look at touchdowns, interceptions. We'll see how that goes. But yardage, I expect him to be right around a 4,000-yard passer.
Right around a 4,000-yard passer with, should I say, in the low 20s touchdown passes?
I'd put him right in the mid-20s.
Okay.
Right in the mid-20s. Maybe low 20s. Yeah, right there. 22 to 25.
Well, if you prorated his five games this past season, and we know that life doesn't work like prorating, you got to go out there and do it Sunday after Sunday. But he threw 7 touchdown passes and just 3 interceptions in 5 football games. If you prorated that through 16 games, it would be about 22 and a half touchdown passes. So right there where you're sort of forecasting it.
Now, when you look at his touchdowns, where would you put him?
Ooh, I will go. I'll give you an exact number here. I'll go.
Was he getting the 20s?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I'll go 25 touchdown passes. I'll go 26. I'll say he's somewhere within like.
So we're right in step right here. That's kind of where we're both at with him.
Which I think if you are right on this in low 20s or it's mid 20s somewhere in there, it'd be a massive success because no Broncos quarterback has thrown 20 touchdowns in a season here in years. Like, again, years. Case Keenum starting every game of the 2018 season threw 18 of them. Trevor Siemian, you know, in his 14 games threw 18 of them. Now, it's been such an incomplete picture. You know, in between there, where you look at the 2017 season and how 3 different quarterbacks played, and this past season, 3 different quarterbacks played. So it has been a while here, about a half a decade, that since a starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos threw 20 or more touchdown passes in a season.
Can he be a 4,000-yard passer?
Yes, I do. I don't want to get ahead of myself. And by the way. I don't care if he throws 4,000 yard pass. I don't think you do either. But
nope.
but just for context,
yeah, give us some 4,000 yard passers last year. Can you pull that up?
Sure.
Because I'm trying to see. You know, I'm not a stat guy, and so I don't know what 4,000 yards looked like last year. You know, how many quarterbacks threw for 4,000 yards? Obviously, that's not the end all be all. You know, I'd rather see the touchdowns and the interception ratio, and also depends on what kind of football team you are.
Right.
That plays a big factor in it because you see a lot of these quarterbacks get a lot of cheap yards.
Yeah.
Week in and week out. That's just the way it is. You're losing. You're getting blown out. Well, what are you going to be doing? You're throwing the football. You're winning by a lot. Hey, we're going to just pound it. We're going to run the football.
That's right.
Well, give 11. Me some guys.
11 players this past year threw for 4,000 yards or more. Jameis Winston, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Derek Carr, Carson Wentz, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and then you got guys who are right on the doorstep, like 39-something, Jimmy Garoppolo, Deshaun Watson, even Baker Mayfield is over 3,800. So, it's
Kyler Murray. I just pulled up Kyler Murray's 3,700. Wow.
Out the gate.
Yeah.
Out the gate. And running for, you know, what do you run for, like 500 yards, 600 yards or something crazy like that. It's attainable. It's really not crazy. Consider the weapons at play here too. It's a part of the story.
Sure.
It's
right around there. It should be right around there. Yep.
And really, you said it, and I've said it in the past. It's not about yards thrown. You could be 4-12 and be a 4,600 yard passer, the way that Phillip Rivers was this past year.
Right.
But it's about touchdown to interception ratio. It's about being accurate with the football, not turning it over, and really, when does it come? When these stats come, when does it come?
Yeah, and you look at some of these guys, and you know, Jared Goff, 22 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. 23 touchdowns, 20 interceptions for Phillip Rivers. We want a better ratio than that. You look at a guy like Derek Carr, 21 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That's better. That's more in line what I'd like to see. Carson Wentz, I mean, 27-7. That's pretty good.
Pretty
Patrick Mahomes,
good.
26-5. Aaron Rodgers, 26-4. I mean, those are really, really good. But we, you know, let's keep those interceptions down and get mid-20s touchdowns. I think that's where it's at more so than the yards.
Yep. Yep, 100% agree. All right, Mile High Memories. Guys, you can vote for the next episode. There's four topics today at 104.3 The Fan on Twitter. The Mike Hampton and Denny Nagel signings or the Carmelo Anthony trade. Interesting topics there. I went back and listened to the Tebow Mile High Memories episode that they had, Sandy and Mike Kliss. Oh, my gosh. You want entertainment. It's an hour packed of it. And those guys were at each other's throats at one point.
Oh, really?
Yes, they had to get separated from Raj. I mean, it was but
the big fella had to step in there?
Big fella had to step in. But that's the type of temperature you get when you start talking about Tim Tebow.
Oh, man, I love it. Hey, real quick, I was heading to Lowe's yesterday, right? I'm getting out. I'm like, wifey, let's go. We're getting out of the house, and everywhere is packed, right? I mean, this place is Castle Rock was booming yesterday, right? And so getting out right when I turn on the car, like around 1:30 or something like that. Who was on? We were on reacting to the Packers. Packers Broncos Super Bowl game.
Awesome.
I thought it was awesome. So I was tuning in. It was well done. And hopefully a lot of people got a kick out of it and listened to it yesterday.
I love it. I absolutely love it. All right, Stoke. Bleacher Report predicted every NFL team's surprise rookie gem. Who did they have as a rookie surprise for the Broncos? We'll tell you, as well as the morning show is calling us out again. Buckle up. We'll get there next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 104.3thefan.com.